Welcome back to FYC
for your child self.
I'm Victoria.
And I'm Alessandra.
Today we're talking about a movie that I guess has been long ado for us to talk about, but also just came out. But also, there's been so many versions of it. And also, I don't think that I am even close to watching all of the content that there is about this movie.
It's Kung Fu Panda 4.
Yeah. Yeah, four. Which honestly,
one more than How to Train Your Dragon.
I was gonna say one less than Shrek.
Yes, one less than Shrek. But yeah, I mean, Kung Fu Panda 4, which has been led by Jack Black,
the one and only
for since 2008, which is when the first one came out. Wait,
2008?
Yeah, 2008.
That's crazy.
We were 11.
10, 11?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that is crazy.
I mean, whoa. I don't think of it as crazy just because I actively remember watching like Kung Fu Panda, the first one, yeah, as a kid and enjoying it.
Yeah.
But then the fact that now we're watching it, the fourth movie, as 26-year-olds.
Yeah.
Is kind of bonkers. That's crazier to me than like having the first one at 10. It's like, why am I watching the fourth one?
Yeah, that's all these years later. Exactly. It's like, clearly I'm not the demographic for this. But we'll get into that. For now, though, what was your cartoon moment of the week?
Okay, so it's not really like I had cartoony moments, but I've been rewatching some of my favorite beloved cartoons. Obviously, not to like plug Netflix right now.
Go for it. Watch Nimona.
Watch Nimona. But with the new live action of Avatar: The Last Airbender, I actually really enjoyed that series. Yeah. I went back to rewatching the original Avatar: The Last Airbender, the cartoon, and the sequel series Legend of Korra, because they're both on Netflix. And honestly, it's just like they still hit. Like, I just loved watching those shows as a kid, and like rewatching the episodes now, I'm just like, such great writing, such great character, like character dynamics, the friendships on the show. It just doesn't get old. See, that you can age with.
That's true. I'm not an Avatar person myself, but my younger cousin, who actually called me this morning out of the blue.
Oh, nice.
Constantly asking me if I've seen Korra yet. Like, she loves Korra. She's always like, I need more Korra.
Well, they have a new Earthbender Avatar series coming up, which means that Korra is dead. So I don't think.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
What was your cartoon moment of the week?
I'm going to do the same as you and like shout out Netflix a little bit, watch Nimona. But I started watching a different show. It's called My Dad the Bounty Hunter.
Oh, no, I haven't heard of that one.
It's okay. It's for kids. It's an animated show for kids. I am every episode rolling on the floor laughing. Actually, Kung Fu Panda 4 reminded me a little bit of one of the episodes that I watched, I think, 3 days ago or something like that, where at first I was like, when this was happening, I was kind of confused. I was like, wait, I already saw this. I was like, no, I didn't. I was like, I'm thinking of My Dad the Bounty Hunter. But basically, it's a show about these two kids that their dad is a bounty hunter, but an intergalactic bounty hunter, and they're humans, and they have no idea that their dad is this. They're just like, damn, my dad's an absent father. Like, he's a fucking lame deadbeat guy, like, doesn't want to fucking take me to Splash Town. And then they stow away in his car while he has to go for a job last minute, and then they end up in space. And so
that's how they find out
that he's a bounty hunter. Yeah, but it's just really cute, and like, the dad is trying so hard to really bond with them, and like, he takes him to go get like intergalactic wings, and that episode was just everything. It's like, I'm just loving it so much.
Great. Yeah. I'll check it out. That sounds cool.
You totally should.
But now getting into Kung Fu Panda 4, which was written by Jonathan Abel and Glenn Berger and Darren Lemke. The first two wrote actually the first two Kung Fu Panda movies.
Yeah.
And then Darren Lemke is known for Turbo and Shazam,
which are some of the most underrated movies of all time. So Darren Lemke, I'm giving you my flowers.
And then also directed by Mike Mitchell, one of the directors from Lego 2, and Stephanie Stein.
Yeah.
Most of us, I think, are familiar with the first Kung Fu Panda movie.
Yeah, or at least like the general storyline that Po is a panda, didn't know Kung Fu, then he gets chosen to be the Kung Fu master. And the now
Dragon Warrior.
Dragon Warrior, that's, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And then this is the fourth one. And in this one, Po, who is now seasoned, is called upon by Master Oogway to become the spiritual leader of the Valley of Peace. However, a new villain, Chameleon, who is this like badass crime boss, threatens to undo his pact's victories. So then with the help of a new ally, a street smart Fennec Fox, I'm going to guess. Fennec Fox named Zhen. Po has to protect the homeland and find a new dragon warrior, his successor. Wow, that's going to be a tough one to pronounce.
I know. I was like, I already called it sequester earlier. Like, that's going to come back for sure. But yeah, the movie is starring, obviously, Jack Black as Po. We have Awkwafina as Zhen. Viola Davis as Chameleon. And the moment she spoke, I said, is this Viola Davis?
Yeah, had the same feeling. I was like,
no way.
Yeah, Academy Award winning actress Viola Davis.
No, it's just this like cast is so freaking stacked. Like Dustin Hoffman returns as Shifu, which is
another he's another Academy Award winner.
I'm pretty sure.
Ke-Hee Kwan,
right?
Another Academy Award winner.
Bryan Cranston
and like literally the king of Hollywood, literally. Like James Hong, who has been like in movies for like how many years?
No, literally decades.
He has at least 100 roles, I want to say, by now.
Oh, shit.
In his whole career. He's literally been working since, like, the 40s. He was in Chinatown.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
He's been working forever, this man. And he does not stop.
No.
He can't stop, won't stop.
No, quite literally, no.
James Hong, we give you your flowers.
Yeah, no, everyone's flowers. No, it's definitely a stacked cast, and like I feel like Kung Fu Panda movies have always had a stacked cast somehow and for some reason.
And we'll get into that in a bit because there's some notable cast members that are missing.
Yeah, we have some stacked uncasted.
But in the meantime, obviously, so we've both seen the first Kung Fu Panda and we saw it when it came out originally.
Actually,
you didn't?
No.
Oh, you didn't. Okay,
no.
So tell us.
No.
Because I haven't seen the rest, but Victoria did go ahead and see the first Kung Fu Panda and the
literally,
third.
Yeah, like 5 days ago, I watched them.
So tell us. What were your impressions of those?
Okay, so I don't remember this being the fifth grade, but it must have been because that's when it came out. When I was little, my favorite animal was a panda, and I was obsessed with pandas, and I was like, I can't believe that the pandas are dying and no one freaking cares. Like, I'm going to make sure, I will die on this hill. I will make everyone care about the freaking pandas.
Amen.
And so I was, as, you know, 9-year-olds are, 8-year-olds, whatever, you know everything about whatever it is that you're interested in, and I knew everything there was to know about pandas. And then the Kung Fu Panda trailer came out, and everyone was like, oh my God, you love pandas. Are you going to watch Kung Fu Panda? And I said, this is not what I wanted. This is not what I asked for. This is not what I planned. And I was pissed. I think that's when like my mal humor started. I was just
toward
so
Kung Fu Panda or in general?
In general, and it was because of Kung Fu Panda, because I don't know if you remember the trailers, but like, I mean, they really, really like did something to my brain chemistry, I think, because it was like, I get now, as a grown adult looking back, being like, I was just upset that the stereotype of the panda was being like propagated, where it's like they're fat, lazy, and all they do is eat, which isn't true. Like, that is literally true. Why was I so pressed? I don't know. But I was mad that like that was what the trailer was about. And then I was like, well, can someone just freaking let them live in peace and help them out instead of making this stupid movie with Jack Black, who, by the way, when I was 8, did scare me. Like, he scared me. So it was just a lot. And on top of that, I was pissed that a panda wasn't a girl. Because to me, all animals were girls.
Interesting. Yeah. Let's unpack that.
There's nothing to unpack. I just think that a world filled with women would be a lot better. So all the dogs, you know, like how people are like, oh, with children, you have to stop saying he. It's like she or they or whatever.
It's so funny.
I never had that problem. Yeah. To me, everything was already a she. Like, so I was just pissed that like it was a boy, and on top of that, it was the one boy that I didn't like. It was Jack Black.
Oh my God.
But now watching after I watched the first one a few days ago, and I liked it. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I thought it was I remember the first one being a really good movie. I remember we got a couple rewatches of that one as kids and like with my cousins.
It was
and
always
stuff.
Playing everywhere. I don't know how I avoided it for so long.
If there was Pandamania.
Yeah.
For sure.
No people, and the second one came out pretty close after. 2010 maybe 2012
Maybe. Honestly, like, so this is, yeah, like, I didn't end up watching the rest of them. Though I remember, like, there were, like, a bunch of spinoffs. There was, like, the Kung Fu Panda series on Cartoon Network, Legends of Awesomeness. And then there were a couple other series as well. Like, I think there's one on Netflix right now.
I think it's on Peacock.
Okay.
Oh, and there might be one on Netflix and one on Peacock.
Okay.
You know? Because I think Netflix bought some sort of licensing for it, and then Peacock became Peacock.
So I get.
Now it probably did its own thing.
Interesting. Nailed okay.
It, just because.
Now this is four, and...
Kung Fu Panda 2, 2011. So, yeah, I feel like the first two came out within, like, pretty good...
Like, 3 years. Yeah.
Time within each other. Like, you know, if you watched it when you were 10, you watched it in your... when you before high school still, like, that's okay.
Yeah.
I feel.
And definitely if you watched it when you were younger than 10, like, that definitely would have aged with you better.
Exactly.
Like, again, this, like, brings to mind, like, because, yes, if you were younger than 10, than when we were, when Kung Fu Panda came out, having the second one come out in 2011 makes sense. Yeah. Because you're, like, a little older, but still, like, in that kid range of, like, watching these movies. Now, Jeffrey Katzenberg, who was the head of DreamWorks, like, at the time that the first Kung Fu Panda came out, mm-hmm. said that there was, like, a planned, like, 6 movies that they wanted to do for it. Which, I mean, I'm guessing, like, the average lifespan, like, depending on how quickly they could have released those movies, I guess it could have worked, maybe.
I feel like so. six is a lot, but, like, if you think about it, like, a Harry Potter situation. Yeah.
But again, like, when we talked about this, like, before we started recording, like, I don't think that this was one of those franchises that ages with you in that way, at least the way that it's written.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like watching all of them back to back, I was like, if these all four of these movies to me hadn't come out, essentially, to me, they all came out the same year. You know what I mean? So, like, this is, yeah, like, this is fine. But I can't imagine, like, getting led on by thy franchise for so many years in between.
But exactly, because then, okay, I understood if it came out in quick succession, like the Harry Potter movies, but the fourth one just came out.
Yeah.
Like, in the year of our Lord, 2024.
Yeah.
That's, like, what?
16.
16 years. 16 years since the first one came out. And again, like...
Harry Potter has grandchildren by now.
Like, then there's, like, franchises like Toy Story, which mm-hmm. hinge on the idea of, like, nostalgia.
Yeah.
You know, to, like, keep audiences of all ages watching. Like, it's very much centered around the idea of growing up and leaving behind, like, you know, these important, like... Yeah. Objects from our childhood and, like, sort of, like, projecting, like, how those toys, like, feel about us that have, like, sort of been, like... have been raised with them or, like, have, like, our toys raise us in a way.
Yeah.
And so, like, it made sense that, like, a franchise that started in 1995 and, like, that was before, like, we were born even. And
exactly.
We grew up with, like, the second one. We were, like, pretty young or, like...
Yeah, I think it's 99.
Yeah. So that was, like, that we were, like, still little when the second one came out. And then the third one came out in 2010.
2010.
So then... But, the whole idea of, like, growing up and, like, looking back, like, to your childhood memories and all that stuff, like, it made sense with the franchise, and it seems it worked.
Mm-hmm.
4 and 5, and, like, you know, 5, I think, is getting a little excessive. I feel like it's sort of, like, we'll say what you want.
Yeah, 4 was excessive.
But again, it's still tied into those themes, and it kind of made sense.
Yeah, and I think it's still continuing to grow in different ways. I think that that what they're doing with the characters are... It's very much keeps progressing the story, whether it progresses them into just making more and more and more movies, and whether they're giving these characters more of an arc and, like, whether actually giving these characters more arc and more longevity to their storylines is just a blatant money grab, cash grab for them or whatever.
Which it is.
It is. But at least the emotional impact of the stories isn't necessarily dumbing down. Or staying the same, which I feel like this movie kind of did plateau a little bit. Like, plateaus the Kung Fu Panda storyline. Well,
yeah, my point was getting to is, like, the fact that, like, I feel like Kung Fu Panda, like, its themes are not exactly, like, do not relate to, like, the nostalgia. Like, do not necessarily appeal to nostalgia factor. Like, the first one is just an adventure about, like, an unlikely hero, like, mm-hmm. rising to the occasion.
And great story.
Which is a great story. And then, like, also the fact that, like, Po as a character, like does this without like not changing too much. Like he still like maintains, you know, loving food. Like he'll like try to like, you know, be fun, more fun loving. He's not all that serious. And it's more like the characters around him changing, like realizing, oh, we can like, you know, take it a little easier, or like we like, you know, not all heroes are built the same.
Yeah.
And then, so it's like interesting that like, as the franchise goes on, okay, how do you work a character like that into these stories? It feels almost like episodic. I don't know, like where it's just
I agree.
The character is like the same mistakes are being repeated, the same personality flaws.
Yeah. It feels serial and not very serious.
Which, like, worked for, like, again, like, they had their Kung Fu Panda series that, like, were actually very successful. Like, yeah, I remember. I even watched them.
I mean, exactly. I watched those before I even watched Kung Fu Panda.
So then...
movies.
It's, like, sort of the question, like, did this movie need to get made? Especially because, like, we mentioned before, the Furious Five, who were voiced by the big guns, Angelina Jolie, Lucy Liu, Jackie Chan, Seth Rogen, David Cross, did not return.
No.
Well, Seth Rogen kind of returned for like a...
he had a line, maybe.
But like, they're literally like written away.
I know. And not even written away, explained away.
Yeah, explained away.
Which I don't know, like...
It's sort of like a cop out, like, oh, they're like not in town. They're all on business.
Right. they're on work trips, and I'm over here opening a restaurant. Like, come on, bro. Also, they're all on separate trips.
Yeah, they're not that doing feels it together. Sus. Yeah, it's like it's giving.
It's like, what did you do?
Group breakup. It's giving. Everyone's going solo.
Solo album.
Yeah. Era. Exactly. And then they like show up briefly at the end. Spoilers.
Show up. Don't say anything. Show up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it just feels so hollow when it's just like the characters, and it's like you don't have Angelina Jolie, Lucy Liu,
Jackie Chan,
and
man.
Co. Like, not like giving those characters life. So, again, like, it begs the question, like, what more could the Kung Fu Panda franchise have to offer?
So, coming from the point of view where I like literally watched them all back to back. Right before watching this one, like, I literally watched the third one on Tuesday morning, and then, like, 8 a.m. woke up and put it on, and then went to the theater to watch,
Four.
If I had just walked into Four, I wouldn't have really understood what was happening. So it just feels weird to have a movie that, like, relies so much on what happened on the one right before it. You haven't seen that one.
The one right before, no. Third. I know what it was about. Yeah. Like, it was about Po, like, getting to know his dad, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, all the other pandas that he thought were, like, lost.
Right. So, that's what I'm saying. It's, like, going into Four, not knowing what had happened in Three, I feel like I would have just not been interested at all. Because it's such a little kid movie. Like, even as far as, like, the co-watching goes, like, if... Like, we just released our episode on Luca... last week, right? So it's like Luke is a great movie. Like, adults can watch that with kids, teenagers can watch that with kids. Like, it's very much a co-watching movie.
I mean, adults and teenagers can watch that alone.
Yeah, but exactly. But this one just feels like I felt like I wasn't super entertained, and so I was like, I don't know. Like, I feel like my entertainment here would be to watch a kid be entertained by this, in that, like, even like the like one-liners and jokes, like, I was like, okay, like, yeah, like, I'm gonna laugh at Jack Black, he's fucking funny.
Yeah,
it just felt so dependent on Jack Black and Awkwafina's personalities that, like, I don't really know that the Kung Fu Panda-ness is there anymore.
Yeah. And they say movie stars don't exist anymore. I will say, though, like, while there were a bunch of kids in the theater, I, like, the two groups next to me were fully, like, teenagers / like early 20s.
Oh yeah, when I went, it was
like,
just
in groups, like going there to just like goof off and have a fun time.
Yeah, it was like three couples on dates and one mom that brought four kids. Like, that's who I watched it with. Nope. And like,
date night, really?
I know.
Oh my god, I wonder who suggested that.
Date morning.
Worse. Oh my gosh, that's interesting. I won't judge. I'm lonely, so I can't. Wow. But so,
yeah, I mean, I'm glad I didn't walk out of it being like, wow, that was so bad. I walked out and I was like, that was cute. I hope that kids enjoyed it more than I did, because if not, then it really is just meh.
I will say, And I will mention this. I kind of want to mention this at the end. What the movie ends on, that song cover, I will say, left me in such a great mood getting out of that theater.
Interesting. I'm not gonna disagree with you.
But I will say, like, it's like I thought that I did like have like a lot of sweet like emotional reactions to it. I also rolled my eyes a bunch at some of the humor because, again, like, what I thought was funny at 10, I don't exactly think is still funny at 26.
Unless it's the B movie, in which case I do still think it's funny.
The B movie is evergreen. That will never get old for me. Yeah. But what did you think was the cutest aspect of the movie?
The cutest part of the movie was, and this is where it's like, eh, because I'm like, it was totally a side plot and totally there just for comedic purposes. But Poe's two dads going on their little road trip.
Oh my God, you're so right. I love that.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Their little team up was cute. For me, I don't know why. Like, for the way that I thought the pigs in Robot Dreams were like super cute to me, and like, I thought the bunnies, like, all the bunnies.
I had a feeling you were gonna say that.
Like the three like hyper violent child bunnies. I don't know why. I just thought it's so funny. Hyper violent. Like, and again, it was like so stupid. But it's just the way those little like voices, their little voices. Whoever cast those bunny children.
Great
those
job.
Those feral bunny children.
Great job. Feral.
Like deserves an Academy
Feral
Award.
Feral Girl Friday.
And no. then, but also not only them, but the rabbits that work at that tavern.
Yeah,
at the I thought they were so funny and cute too.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, you're really taking it, aren't you?
No, literally. No, yeah, these poor freaking bunnies. Oh, that's the part that reminded me.
Stirring itself.
Literally stirring itself. No, that's what the part that reminded me of my dad, the bounty hunter. Oh my God, no, yeah, the bunnies were freaking cute. And then the hyper-violent bunny children, as you called them earlier, when they strike matches on each other's teeth, that killed me.
Yeah, I was just kind of like, my only like question was why did they always go for like the like nipple area? It was like they always bit straight at the chest, and it was like, why?
Yeah.
Like, and it happened more than once.
Yeah,
I was like, why is that the?
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought the bunnies were great. What was your favorite part?
Oh, my favorite part. I actually really like the chase scene when they're in Juniper City.
Yeah, that one was really cool.
Yeah, when like, yeah, I really, yeah, it was
like
really
the whole
fun.
Like Bull in a China Shop moment.
The Bull in a China Shop was really funny, but also like the way that like when you would turn, it was like all the wanted posters. Like that was just a very visually appealing to me. And so, like, it was, like, that stillness plus all the fast-moving chasing thing. I really liked it.
I'll say, like, all the action sequences in general, like, I took notice of this movie. Mm-hmm. And, like, seeing some of the, like, interviews, like, beforehand, it was interesting them talking about how, like, with animation, how the technology has changed, how they were able to do more GoPro/POV shots with the cameras. And I thought it really worked to their benefit in the movie. It was just, like, very dynamic, like, action sequences.
Yeah.
Like, the ones at the fight sequence at the tavern in Juniper City where it's, like, they're sort of, like, on that chasing that you just talked about. And then the fight sequence in the sort of underground den of thieves.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, like, all the ones, like, that take place in, like, the chameleon's, like, lair. Yeah. I thought they were all, like, just very visually interesting, very exciting. Oh, also, like, that first scene when Poe and Zhen meet.
Yes.
It's just like a lot of fun stuff going around. Like it doesn't feel like a waste of space. It's just like it very much flows and there's like a sort of like cause and effect to everything that like makes it like very like narratively satisfying, right. I will say.
Yeah. And I think also this is, I'm glad you said that because I kept thinking about this while I was watching it, like specifically the POV shots, because we have throughout the whole franchise, Poe hangs off of trees a lot. Like, that does happen. It happens in every single movie a bunch of times. In this one, there was a POV shot every time that happened. Every time he was hanging or something, he would look down, and it would be, like, imminent death. So I actually did notice that, but I only noticed because I watched all of them back to back. So
that's an interesting detail. I wouldn't have thought that.
Because even in the first one, I remember thinking, like, being very wowed by, like, the cinematography and, like, the shots. And I was like, wow, like, they're being really playful with, like, these shots and, like, they're, it's like they're shots if from like underneath and like from as if like you're a dumpling or a bowl and like you see things at the top, and then there's very wide shots because everything's so beautiful, and then there's like even shots with like mantis, you know, like the how they do scaling for mantis talking versus everybody else talking. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's very artful and very diligent how they did it. And so I heard a lot of stuff about this movie, obviously, and like people saying that it's not the best one, like it's just a money grab, etc. But I was really happy to see that visually it did not stutter.
Yeah, honestly, they did put a lot of love into that. Yeah. The animators, you can see that, mm-hmm. and just like in the details. And like what I've always loved about DreamWorks is just how naturalistic they can be in terms of like movements. It's sort of like
in the tavern chase scene.
Wait, what about it?
When the camera was following Jen, it was going like she was like kicking, and like it was like almost as if she was still in the middle of the frame, but it was just like, I don't know. Did you remember that?
No, not specifically. Okay, I was but say it.
Like, yeah, it's like she's fighting everything and like stealing people's money bags from their pockets.
Oh,
and
that
stuff.
Was funny. Yeah,
but like the camera itself is like very much following her, and it's almost like she's slow-mo and everything else is fast, but it's just because she's the center of attention. And like,
yeah, it's sort of like that, what's it called,
it's like a tracking, it's like it's track, yes, it's kind of like Quicksilver, but it's like it's just tracking her. And I thought that was like really freaking cool.
No, nice. No, but I mean that is like that really is like awesome and speaks to just how far animation has gone.
Yeah.
But I just keep on thinking, like, you know how in like Shrek, like it was so revolutionary. It's just like the sort of like casualness or like the movements. And I also think about like Hiccup. Yeah. Granted, it's like an ism of like DreamWorks, which is sort of mm-hmm. like the like unexpected hero, like the sort of like loser becomes a hero like vibe. So it's just like that sort of like almost like, I don't know, you know,
the
what
mundane,
the like the mundane, like the shoulders like going up and down. Yeah. And like I noticed that with Poe, and I was like,
okay,
I could like when I saw Poe doing it, I was like, oh my god, that's like Shrek. That's Hiccup.
Shrek core.
So I love how a studio can maintain their style still after all these years.
Yeah.
And it's just like how they like keep these like underdog tales like going. Yeah. Underdog tale. That's mm-hmm. That was the word I was looking
Did
for.
Did you have a favorite part?
My favorite part. Honestly, I thought of like. Oh well, sorry. I'm gonna take that. Honestly, I think my favorite part was like the whole like metaphor with the peach pit. Like, I don't know why.
It was very sweet. Also, another motif. They said that they used that in the first one too.
The peach pit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I forgot about that.
¿Cómo se llama la tortuga?
Oogway.
Oogway gives Shifu a pit, and it's like, here's your pit. Like, do like grow a tree with it. And Shifu's like, fuck you, I don't want your fucking pit.
I will say Dustin Hoffman coming back as Shifu, like, was such a like delight. I'm just like, man, let him retire. I thought Shifu was great. But yeah, I thought the whole metaphor was good. And
really
it's like
cute.
Nice how that it like passes on to Poe.
Exactly.
And then Poe passes it on to Jen. And I love that for her is like the sort of like big turning point for her.
She's like, I have emotions.
Yeah, like I have emotions. Like I mean something to someone. I have potential.
Yeah.
So I thought that was just like a great storytelling touch.
Right. Did you have a least favorite part?
My least favorite part. And I think it's like, again, like all the time that's passed. But it's just sort of with all the time that's passed, it's mm-hmm. annoyed me like how Poe sort of like reverts again.
Yes.
Like goes to the episodic nature to like. Not that it's like, oh, he's lazy, but it's like sort of like, oh, gives into like the celebrity culture.
Yeah.
And while I do think that speaks to our time, I'm like, is that really like what the movie ends up being about?
Yeah.
Like they make such a big deal about how Poe is like using his like image and his like dragon warrior status as like almost like celebrity. And I'm like, ultimately, I'm like, was that really what the movie was about? Or was it like his reluctance to like give that up?
Right. And like watching the third one, where the third one ended, I didn't expect him to come back like that in the fourth one. Like they really just reset the character, and that peeved me.
Yeah. And so that's why it's like when you have to like contrive these circumstances and like do all this like character recon.
Yeah.
Or is that retcon? Character retcon in order to like give your movie a reason for being or like to give a starting point. I'm just like, you know, like don't make the movie. You're ruining the character. But
right.
I mean, it's Hollywood. So as long as like, we're on this train of like franchise sequels, there's always gonna be like a reason
it's
for being, and
be
like
I,
again like it's the whole like episodic nature of sequels that you have like these characters falling back on their flaws. But it just like bugged me because I'm like, if he's supposed to be given the staff of wisdom, like I would expect he's like achieved that wisdom, and it's not like
It's not Oogway just like laughing at everyone from the spirit realm.
Oh, I mean, maybe.
But maybe it is. I don't,
The villains are definitely laughing from the spirit world and beyond.
But they actually weren't. They didn't give a fuck. And then they cared. Then they started laughing when they were all in the same room together.
That's so true. What did you think about the villains, like, coming back? Ian McShane, like, came back for this?
Yeah, that was sick. I didn't really care. Because I feel like, it didn't do much to me.
Like, I remember these villains, and I know that, like, some of them, like, showed up in the animated series Legends of Awesomeness. So it was, like, interesting seeing these characters come back. But then it's just, like, that, again, like, that whole, like, device of, like, I'm going to steal Kung Fu from each of these masters. I'm like, And then, like, again, these are all, like, the villains. And, like, I do kind of like the idea that they've, in the spirit world, they've sort of been rehabilitated.
Yeah.
Because they were just, like, nah. They were just, like, I mean, others, because those cast members did not bother to return.
I know.
Or just, like, did not speak. And then you have Tai Lung, who's sort of, like, the voice for all of them, being like, you know what? You did good.
Yeah. Well, it's also crazy, though, because Tai Lung's character, I feel like, wasn't fleshed out enough in the first movie. Like, he was literally Shifu's kid.
Yeah, like his protege.
Yeah. And then kind of like Po replaced him too, you know what I mean? So he was already like, he had some, he was seeking vengeance. If ever there was anyone that was upset at anything, it would have been him.
I forget, was he like a good guy at the start of it? Or like, had he already been,
was he imprisoned? Established. Yeah.
Like, imprisoned.
No,
like,
wasn't,
like, isn't the opening sequence of that one, like, he breaks out of jail?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's been a villain for years. And then the first one starts. And he's like, who's the dragon warrior? I'm going to get you. And they're like, he's not ready. and then he gets ready. So I don't know. I wish that in this movie they had used him a little bit more. Because I feel like at the end of the first one, I was left wanting more from him. And I don't remember seeing him in the show. I don't really remember much of the show either. But even in this one, like, so much of the plot depended on the character. And then at the end, he just, like, walks back into the spirit realm with no really rhyme or reason.
Yeah, like, I was almost expecting, like, a twist, like, of, like, him having to fight them, too.
Yeah, or even him, or even if, like, Tai Lung had something to be, like, he was so pissed at Chameleon for thinking she can just steal his kung fu or whatever, like, that his biggest priority was not going to the spirit realm to fuck her up rather than, like, fucking Po up. I don't know, it just felt so, like, meh.
It was, like, sort of, like, a thing where I'm like, okay, I can understand if he's grown in his time in the spirit world, but it was, like,
I don't know that as a viewer.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and why would I expect that?
Yeah, it would have been an interesting arc, but I guess it's, like, because of, like, time reasons. But I did like, though, as soon as I said it, I realized, oh, wait, Poe did actually kind of fight the villains because of, like, Chameleon's, like, powers. Like, he did literally have to, like, fight each of those villains, like, again. And himself, he had to kick.
I did like that part.
Like,
I gotta kick my butt.
But it's just, like, again, it just goes back to the whole idea of, like, it's so funny because, like, hearing us say, like, oh, steal their kung fu. I'm like, can kung fu be a thing that's, like, stolen? I forget.
It,
like,
was.
What is kung fu? Is it, like, a state of mind, like a power? Like,
I think,
is it, like, a physical thing in the way that, like, chi is?
Right. So I think that Chameleon literally just, like, maybe it is something, like, because it was kind of yellowy, and, like, Po's chi is yellow too. So maybe it's more so, like, she's taking their energy and channeling the kung fu.
Okay. I'll take your answer because the movie certainly didn't give me that answer.
Yeah.
How did you feel about the ending?
Oh my God, I hated the ending. I liked the movie until the ending. Like, everything that had happened to me while watching it, I had excused. I was like, whatever, this is going to be fine. But then the ending, I was just so like, this is so flat. Like, what
about it? Because for me, I mean obviously, like, I knew from, like, the moment that Jen showed up
oh
that
yeah
she
obviously
was gonna be the one
yeah
No, but is it like, what is it, the Furious Five or like what about it or the song cover?
The song cover was the only thing that saved it, honestly.
Yeah, again, like that's what gave me the good mood. I was too distracted with that to even like focus on the rest.
Yeah, I don't know, I feel like it just ended kind of anticlimactically. Maybe it's because I saw it coming, but it's also, it's hard for me, like putting myself like in a 10-year-old state of mind again. Like when you're 10, all you're doing is guessing what's gonna, how the movie's gonna end while you're watching the movie. So it I can't imagine that 10-year-olds are more satisfied with this ending than I am. Mm-mm. So that's why I'm kind of like, well, it was not a great ending.
All right. No, yeah, I'll say like what annoyed me about the ending and made me like laugh from how like ridiculous and like audacious like the like creators were like around this was like the whole idea again, like the Furious Five like shows up in the end and they're all training together. Yeah. And I'm like,
come on,
like what a cop out. Yeah. You may as well just not have them there at all and just left it to like Poe and Jen and just sort of like the next generation, because clearly no. Furious Five is never coming back.
Yeah, Angie, she's not signing up for another one of these.
Yeah, like
but
clearly.
Yeah, I don't know, I also think that with the ending I just don't know that I find it believable that Poe, or not like that Poe, that Jen really beat the chameleon.
I don't know. I think she did well. Like she uses like what she's learned from chameleon against her.
Yeah. I don't know. I just felt like the stakes were really, really fucking high. And then the fighting sequence wasn't super, like it wasn't. I was never scared, really. I don't know. I was really hyped for the movie throughout it up until it was, like, the last fighting sequence. And then, like, the whole, like, oh, do you want a job with more career growth? Like,
I don't know. Like, well, I mean, my whole thing with that I would have liked more of a build to their story, like, in terms of, like, oh, like, did Jen really see Chameleon as a mother or just, like, her boss?
Oh, yeah, that's
because I feel like that would have added more emotional stakes behind, like, that final face-off.
That's true. I see what you mean. Maybe that would have done it for me.
Because I think it was more focused on, like, the Den of Thieves, who, like, we actually realized, like, did not, like, play that big a role in her story.
No.
But I know that was supposed to be a fake-out, right?
Yeah.
Which I feel so bad because every time I'm like, spoilers.
I know. I need to make a little spoiler thing. But yeah.
But no, but I understand that. I think if they had given that more like emotional juice. I was saying juice and then it came out as juice early on. I think it would have landed a little bit better maybe.
I see. You know what? Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that. Especially because you have in this movie this whole this whole theme with Poe and his dads wanting to protect him and him being like, and him still seeking comfort in his dads. And then it's just like, that's it. You know what I mean? Like where that could have been like a parallel with her story as well. When it really wasn't really there, but it is what it is. What do you think is going to happen next with them though?
I mean, like let's see if they make another movie.
Do you think there will be, I feel like, yeah.
I mean, I can see it being a good launch point. I doubt that Jack Black and Awkwafina would say no.
Yeah.
Especially
not saying no.
Yeah, like she would. I don't see her like exactly like saying no to like being the co-lead of the franchise. But I mean, I could like see more adventures happening. I would be interested in seeing like more of like how Poe's role as like spiritual leader is.
Yeah.
Because again, it was so vague. Like, what does that mean? Like, does he just sit around giving advice? I feel like that would have been, I don't see why he was complaining to begin with. That would have been a dream job for him.
Yeah, just sit around and think about things and whatever. Oh, here's my other thing about the ending, actually. You just reminded me. Why did it have to end with him offering her the successor role? Like, why couldn't it just, like, you know? Like, why did that have to be so...
He gives it to himself again.
No, like, he just decides after all this, he goes, wow, I still have so much to learn. Or like he's starting to get the wisdom thing down. You know what I mean? So what if he's like, I don't know. I just feel like it didn't need to end so like blatantly like, do you want to be my successor? Like that could have been maybe the plot of the fifth one. Him being all like, you're not ready. And she's like, I do. I want to be. You know what I mean?
But I mean like the whole point of the movie is like Poe's arc is like realizing he's ready to pass it on.
I know,
like the
I
movie
don't
does not exist
is.
Without it.
I, yeah.
I agree. Like, that's one of the big problems of this movie is that the movie, like, tries to convince us
of that, that's
like,
not true.
Yeah. That, like, oh, Poe is ready for this new role and, like, he needs to pass it on. But, like, if we, the audience, are not convinced. But, I mean, I kind of was. Like, I kind of thought, like, oh, like, he's ready. But, again, like, the whole thing is that, like, you know, he's, I don't know, like, I still see Poe as, like, this, like, youngin, like.
Because he is. That's how he's portrayed.
But, and I like, mean, like, the movie would not, like, I, like, there's no, there would have been no world in the end if, like, he would have been, like, no. Because that's not, like, that would not have arced. Like, because, like, the whole point of the movie is him realizing he needs to be, he needs to take on the spiritual leader role. Like, otherwise, like, the movie wouldn't have movied. And, like, the whole point is that she doesn't even believe that she could be this warrior. And, like, that he sees it in her.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, even though we know it's BS, the movie couldn't have movied without it. So, but, like, that's, I mean, that's, a, again, valid point. Like, it's so true. You're right. You're right. Maybe Poe wasn't ready.
I don't feel right.
It's unfortunately the pain of... movieing. I don't know. What is it? What do you see is next?
I feel like it's going to be a another movie. I feel like at this point, DreamWorks business model is just making Kung Fu Panda content because
and Shrek content.
Clearly it's working.
And
oh yeah, and relicensing, re-releasing, theatrically releasing Shrek.
Okay, but we're going to watch that though.
No, right? I'm so freaking lit for that.
But
yeah, I feel like there will be a different another movie and it's going to be what I would like it to be is like more buddy cop type movie.
Like Zootopia?
Maybe Zootopia. I was thinking more like a 21 Jump Street situation.
Interesting. Like, pitch that one
to me. We'll get there.
Okay, workshopping.
Yeah, we're workshopping.
DreamWorks, if you're listening.
I think there will be another movie, and I hope it doesn't take so long to come out. I hope it's like an immediate pick up where we left off type thing. I think that like...
Yeah, if we have to wait till our 30s for Kung Fu Panda 5, like...
Yeah, exactly. It's not happening.
Yeah, sorry.
No, but yeah.
Like, maybe I'll have kids to, like, bring it to bed.
My thing is that, like, I do feel like this this franchise has a lot of potential to not die here. And I do like Awkwafina. I do like her voiceover act, her voiceover work.
She's like taking over. She is stealing all the girlies VO lead roles. Like, everyone. This is like what? So, like, obviously, like, Migration, which keep an eye out for that episode.
I know. Coming soon.
Did Scuttle in Little Mermaid.
Scuttle in Little Mermaid. She was Spider in Bad Guys.
That's right. Have you another seen DreamWorks it? Franchise.
I know. Sure I love that movie. I feel like that's the best movie ever.
I still need to see it. TV, don't judge.
I don't judge.
But so yeah, like she's been little stuff, been killing it. Yeah, she's been killing it with voiceovers. Oh, and Ryan the Last Dragon.
Raya, yes, of course.
So yeah, Awkwafina is taking over the VO space.
I don't mind it. I honestly think she does a great job and her characters are always so fun.
I do enjoy her, and I did enjoy her in this role.
But yeah, what would you give this movie out of a 10? What's your rating?
Respectfully, 4 out of 10.
Oh my god, yes, a Kung Fu Panda 4 out of 10.
Yes. Solely for the fact that I do not think this movie needed to exist. Mm-hmm. But also, like, you know, I mean, I feel a little harsh saying it
because no,
I did
say it.
Love like a lot of the visuals, but then it's just like story-wise, its reason for being is just like does not justify its existence.
Yeah.
For me,
I'm gonna go with the 6, higher than you.
Okay.
However,
honestly, thank you for
that's me fine. Help. Well, I mean, what I liked about it are things that I feel like were very unique to the movie and aren't necessarily parts of the and that are like new additions to the Kung Fu Panda franchise, like him having the two dads and the two dads having a relationship with each other. Like that was really nice to me. I know people don't love this, and this might be a little bit controversial. I love the girl takeover of main lead. Like that is one of my favorite. Like story tropes. And I know it's not great, but when we started this episode, I told you that the reason I didn't watch this movie when I was 10 is because Poe was a boy. And so to now have a takeover be a little fox that looks like my dog. Are you joking? Like I'm sold. You know what I mean? For those two reasons and Shifu being the best, 6 out of 10.
All right. Mm-hmm. That's fair. Alternate title?
Kung Fu Panda Kick for More. No, that's awful. Do you have an alternate?
Say that again?
No, I'm not going to say it again. What? Do you have an alternate?
I was like thinking of one. I'm sorry, in the time that you said
it's
it.
It's just like it's Kung Fu Panda, Kung Fu Panda 2, Kung Fu Panda 3, Kung Fu Panda 4. But okay, in this universe where 2 and 3 have different names, it's Kung Fu Panda, semicolon, something else. I'm going to say Kung Fu Panda, semicolon, Kung Fu Panda 4 score 7 years ago was when the first one came out.
Oh, that's perfect. That's the perfect title.
That's it.
No notes.
That's, that's the one. What about you?
Valley of Peace is next top Dragon Warrior.
Oh, that's fucking funny.
Thank you for the forced laugh. I feel like it's a little long-winded, but...
No, this movie's long-winded.
I don't know why. It didn't... I know it wasn't long in the runtime, but it felt long.
It was so short.
Who would you additionally cast to be in this movie?
Oh, Loki. I want one of the Marvel superheroes in this movie. Like, give me like a Chris Evans.
Okay.
Or
he does VO.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, give me like a Chris Evans or maybe even a Mark Ruffalo.
Ooh, Mark Ruffalo would have been cool.
Or you know what? Maybe one of the villains. One of the like.
Ooh.
You know,
like one of the like.
At the end, like somebody. To be like, I didn't fuck with you last time, but you did good, kid. And before they walked into the realm.
Okay.
You know, I feel like Mark Ruffalo's voice would have been very distinct. Or Chris Evans would have been like, why was that line there? Like, you know, maybe something that like, something very Captain America-esque.
Okay.
That people would have been like, whoa, what the fuck?
Crossover.
Yeah. What about you?
Oh, I would have cast like maybe like, Angelina Jolie or Lucy Liu or Jackie Chan or Seth Rogen or David Cross, one of those guys or any, yeah, like any of those guys or maybe all five of them together and they would have made this group in Kung Fu Panda and like they might have been called like the Furious Five or something and they may have actually have been in the movie.
Oh my God, wait, you're really onto something here.
Yeah, DreamWorks hit me up.
Yeah, that's really good.
Thank you. What part would you do away with?
Oh my God, the chameleon fight scene.
Oh yeah, I think you made that one.
Yeah,
like I don't know.
Abundantly clear. It's a tight movie. It's a short movie.
I think it like worked out. Like I feel like if anything, it would have been the freaking like the voices, like the multiple voices gag. You know, where it's like they're trying to meditate, and then that repeats again with Shifu.
Yeah.
And then it's like all the voices like coming around. I'm like, could have done without.
Yeah.
Didn't need that. It was there purely for the humor and not for story. And then obviously, as we ask every episode, our ultimate question, does it have the Frozen effect?
No.
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 No. I never want to watch this movie again.
I mean, I would watch parts of this movie again. Definitely the cover at the end. but no, doesn't have the Frozen effect though.
No.
Don't think so.
Not at all. Oh well. But thank you for listening.
Yeah, it's been another...
And if you disagree with us, please let us know.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry if we've offended any Kung Fu Panda fans.
Right, we're very, very opinionated, and we are also not Kung Fu Panda girly, so maybe we just missed some lore.
So, yeah, if you have any thoughts or feelings, like, please let us know. Check out our episode next week.
Yeah, or last week's.
Or last week's.
Or the Nimona episode. That's my favorite one. We did so good on that one. But yeah, I guess.
Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Follow us on Instagram at For Your Child Self, and go like our posts and find out what other episodes we did and listen to them. But while we're leaving, who would you name as your successor for Dragon Warrior?
Probably one or both of my younger sisters.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Lucy Liu.
I feel like my sisters together could pull it off.
Yeah.
Even one of them, but I would feel bad giving it to one and not the other. So.